First, though, the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, has flown to Paris to lead Australia's negotiating efforts for the final week of the Climate Change Summit. Over the weekend, Australia again agreed to support a goal of limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees in exchange for more favourable carbon emission rules. 1.5 degrees is the level demanded by some low-lying countries at risk from climate change, the Pacific Island nations. But Pacific leaders say they also need stronger curbs on carbon emissions to protect their countries from disappearing under rising sea levels. A little earlier, I spoke with the Foreign Minister of the Marshall Islands, Tony de Brum, who's attending the climate talks in Paris.
Thank you for having me.
What outcome does the Marshall Islands want from the final week of negotiations in Paris?
What outcome does the Marshall wants from the final outcome in Paris is one that will guarantee our survival. And that means a 1.5 degree centigrade long-term goal, as well as decarbonization middle of the century. By the middle of the century, the earlier the better. We want to make sure that there are processes set up for the five-year regular review convening the parties so that they can have an opportunity to ratchet up their ambitions, marry up technology and other resources to speed up decarbonization, as well as to help them meet their express INDCs. All of these are necessary in a bundle for us to take back. It's almost impossible to take one and not the other, because it will not work for small island countries if we do not have all of these components guaranteed in the agreement somewhere.
So what's your response then to Australia's decision to agree to your 1.5 degree Celsius cap, but to insist on carrying over its emissions credits from Kyoto?
It is something to hear Australia say 1.5, when just a few months ago at Port Moresby, it sounded as if we were asking for the heaven and the earth and a few other planets in between. I think that it's a good positive step forward. We can continue to work with Australia on the other issues, but we want to make sure that Australia plays the role of a leader in our region. And I think that what has happened in this meeting is nothing short of a miracle in the ears of some of the people from the Pacific. We have got a long way to go, but we have an opening here that I think offers us that opportunity.
Is global warming or rising sea levels already affecting your country?
Absolutely. I've been saying this for some time, that we see the problems of climate change as existential and that we are already being affected. I think you may have heard about a Japanese former fishing boat that broke anchor and tried to become part of my living room furniture in Majuro in July. We have events of weather and tides that are unheard of in my lifetime.
Remind us of the Japanese ship experience.
In a reverse westerly wind condition that lasted more than 3 months, many of the ships that were moored in Majuro Harbor were actually washed ashore. One of them trying to get, like I say, almost 3 feet of my balcony upstairs in my home, trying to move into the downstairs area I call my living room. It is still lodged at the ramp next to my house. It took down the dock and the boathouse next door by my sister's home. And that's not the only example. In my constituency of Kwajalein, the base was actually shut down for a few days because people could not be ferried across to work from the labor camp on Ibai.
Money is always a contentious issue at the climate talks, previous UN negotiations in this one too. Poorer countries want money to pay for the shift to renewal and to cope with the impact of climate change. Is there any hope that you may be getting what you need in this conference?
There is hope that the donor countries will live up to the promises of starting up the Green Climate Fund at levels that are meaningful to help smaller developing countries and vulnerable areas adapt. We are hopeful also that the business community will see all of these impacts of climate change as opportunities for for the introduction of clean energy technology and the departure from the fossil fuel madness that has gripped us for so long. In the financial business, the banks were able to bail themselves out quite quickly when they needed bailing out. We may have to go to similar strategy for raising funds in the private public partnerships to make sure that funds that are needed for adaptation to climate change are identified and made available to the most vulnerable.
You mean the banks were saved during the global financial crisis?
That's correct. They saved themselves.
Yes. Of course, the line in those days was that they were too big to fail. No one can say that about the Marshall Islands.
No, we may be small in size in terms of land area, but we have a big heart and we have a big will to survive, and that's what's going to make us survive.
So it must have been exciting for you then to see Saturday's draft pact, the draft agreement with the aim to break the world's dependence on fossil fuels. But there still is the business end of those negotiations to go. The harder parts were deferred to this week, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes and no. There were some harder parts that were actually dealt with, and we continue to deal. We want to get rid of the difficult ones earlier rather than late. We think that we have some solutions that are already on the table that may preclude that kind of a slowdown to occur. But we are also very confident that the presence of so many world leaders in Paris, the opening of this COP, has signaled to the world that it's enough talking. Let's start walking and let's do something that people can go home with and be proud to have been part of this exercise.
And is it possible for President Obama to go back to the United States with his interest met? That is to say that the most vulnerable as well as the most powerful have their interests met by this conference?
I think so. I think so. The fact that President Obama met with the biggest countries in the world and biggest polluters as well as the biggest economies, and then he sat down and met with a small island group delegation, I think that demonstrates the United States' own willingness to express to the world that, yes, we are part of the problem, but we're also going to be part of the solution. And we also see that we have a special need to focus on the problems of the vulnerable, especially the Caribbean, Indian Ocean, Pacific Ocean, island countries, as well as the low-lying parts of many of the major countries of the world.
Foreign Minister, thank you very much for your time from Paris.
Thank you very much for having me, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Tony de Broome, the Foreign Minister of the Marshall Islands, speaking to us from Paris, where the final week of the Climate Change Summit is about to get underway.